News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. On Mobile Mornings on a Tuesday, which means it's time for Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner. And he joins us via phone right now. Hey, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
Doing a little French there in honor of you.
That was nice. In honor of the Olympics?
Yeah.
That was cool. Hey, Quinn, so a lot going on politically, of course, as always, but especially now 3 months out from the presidential election and just a couple weeks off the news that Kamala Harris will be the Democratic presidential candidate. She named a VP last week, and that's Tim Walz. And, of course, everyone's talked about Walz for the last week. But I think, you know, we could talk about his stolen valor. That's been a big discussion point. But that what's gone kind of under-discussed is how radical of a governor he ended up being there in Minnesota.
Very radical. And look, this news broke just as we were on the air last week, and so I touched on it a little bit, but didn't have enough time to really delve into it with your audience. This guy is so far out there. Look, how many governors would make their state a sanctuary state for people to come to transition genders? Okay, I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, maybe, you know, you're going to let children do it, but to sort of throw out a welcome mat and say, hey, if you're not getting treated right by your own state when you want your child to transition genders, you can come here. That's pretty weird, but even worse, the way the law is written, Minnesota, if parents do not agree with their children transitioning gender, the state can use the law to take the children away from the parents. Think about that.
Mm.
The parent thinks the child, we're talking a 10-year-old, is just going through a phase and wants to slow down this gender transition stuff, which is what most parents would do, and most parents love their children, right? Under Tim Walz, Minnesota could take that child away from the parents because the parents, being cautious, would be treated as if the parents were abusive.
That's crazy.
That's sick. It's absolutely sick. But, I mean, you could go on and on and on. He is so radically pro-illegal immigrant that he wants illegals to vote and he wants illegals to get provided all sorts of, you know, health care and benefits and
driver's licenses.
Driver's licenses, state funds, et cetera, et cetera. He, you know, this is a guy who said socialism, his name for socialism is neighborliness. I mean, the guy's a radical on economics. He did not send in the National Guard when Minneapolis was burning, and the Minneapolis mayor, himself a liberal, was asking for the National Guard. It took him something like 15 hours to agree to send in the Guard. He was asked to send in 600 Guard troops. He only sent in 100. He didn't get a full contingent in for 4 days because he was afraid of hurting feelings of people that were rioting. I could go on. This guy is left-wing. This guy is a radical socialist and just way out there on social values and stuff like that. It's terrible.
Yeah, and I think two of the biggest tests of a leader came, well, at the same time for many, and that was the reaction to Black Lives Matter and the George Floyd riots, which you just laid out how Walz did on that front, but also during COVID, where he set up a snitch hotline for Minnesota residents to tell on their neighbors when they were breaking these, COVID rules that were made up on whims by the federal government and the state governments. He took what the left was doing during COVID and took it all the way to the left.
Wait, I mean, look. Okay, so your child is not wearing a mask at the playground, and he wants your neighbor to call the state to report you, that is you know, straight out of 1984, that dystopian novel. It's straight out of Big Brother. It's almost unimaginable. And I mean, you could go on and on and on. He inherited an $18 billion state surplus, and even though he raised taxes, he's blown all the way through it because he spends so much money. And again, that's before you get to the stolen valor stuff. And, oh, he also, of course, wanted to defund the police. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't stop.
You know, so he got into Congress, and you could talk about this, and, you know, I don't have any proof, but from the people talking that were inside the National Guard at that time, what they say was clear was that everybody there that was in power, up the rank, they were aware that they were about to be heading to Iraq. Mm-hmm. That's when he quits, retires, whatever. Dana Bash, by the way, the other day with Vance. J.D. Vance, was just a cheerleader and just so confrontational with Vance. But anyway, so he gets out of the National Guard. When he was in Congress, too, I heard a story this morning on This Morning with Gordon Deal. As a congressman, he was different than he was as a governor. As a congressman, he had to play political waters a little bit differently, and he did that. So he's very political. He's aware of the voters, of the audience, basically, and he plays up to whatever whosoever vote he's trying to win.
Yeah. Okay. So in Congress, and he did have one of the most far left records in Congress. I can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But to your point, he represented a rural Minnesota district in Congress. So
right.
The only issue on which he was conservative in Congress was guns.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually, you know, he was for the Second Amendment, for, you know, don't you grab my gun. As soon as he became governor, he became one of the most gun-grabbingest governors in the country.
Yeah,
he completely flipped, and of course, the way that he flipped was to the far left.
Yeah.
Again and again and again.
That's a good point, but it's interesting that he's very politically aware, and I think he's very full of it. There's something about his phony charisma that kind of gives me the creeps.
Yeah. You're saying he's weird? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's weird.
Quinn, also, so many people saying, you know, Kamala was pushed this way or that way to make the vice presidential pick. You look at the other two candidates who seemed to be the favorites, Josh Shapiro out of Pennsylvania and Mark Kelly out of Arizona, and people are saying, oh, she must have been pushed by the far left to make this choice of Waltz. I think she's just far left. I think maybe she even made this choice on her own because she likes his politics more, but that kind of goes hand in hand. We don't know because no one's questioned Kamala Harris
about
making that pick.
Imagine this. If you had said 8 years ago, somebody would be the nominee of one of the two major parties for president of the United States without getting a single vote of a primary voter for president and without answering a single question from the media for 3 weeks after locking down the nomination.
I mean, she may very
never,
well...
She yeah. has never answered a question from the media as the presidential nominee. She has never had to tell primary voters what she stands for, other than in 2019 when she bombed out so badly she didn't even make it until Christmas the year before the election. So she started out like gangbusters and ended up fizzling. She couldn't answer the questions then, and she was so her poll numbers went to the bottom. And yet she's the media is like, oh, she's wonderful and we love her, and they're not complaining. When have you seen the media not complain about being stiff-armed?
Yeah, well, Biden.
Only late.
Yeah, and it's like she may very well be the president of the United States in 6 months or whatever, and we've got no clue Well, we have a clue, but she hasn't answered any questions. I mean, that is unnerving, Quinn.
Okay, think about this. Since Biden dropped out, he has done three more major interviews than Kamala Harris has. Joe Biden, hiding in his basement, Joe Biden, has sat down for three interviews, and now it wasn't very impressive, but at least he did. But his supposedly younger, more energetic vice president, now the nominee, has not sat down for an interview, has not given a speech without the teleprompter or without a binder in front of her, except the one time on the tarmac when she came down and they were visiting the people home from Russia, and she got to speak for 30 seconds. In that 30 seconds, she sounded like a blithering idiot.
Hmm. Talking with Quinn Hillier with the Washington Examiner, and you can read his work at quinnhillier.com as well. One thing that's notable about this switch from Biden to Harris, Quinn, and then she picked a, of course, radical left running mate, is that all the Democrats are on board, from the moderates all the way left. Everyone is on. If you have a D beside your name, you are on Team Harris and Team Waltz. You can't say the same thing about the Republican Party. There's clearly a lot of people who aren't enthusiastic about the Trump-Vance ticket. Why is that? Why do moderate Democrats fall in line, but a lot of Republicans don't fall in line with their choice?
Well, first of all, because almost every Democrat in the country is scared to death, and I think legitimately so. I mean, I'm not saying whether they're right or not, but I'm saying they really seriously fear another Trump presidency. So they will rally around anybody left of center, center or left. Now, I'm not talking about the radical progressives, but I'm talking about everybody from the center to, you know, sort of old line liberal but not radical. They think Trump is such a danger that they're going to fall in line. That's what's happening, which is another reason why Republicans were not very bright to choose Trump, because Trump, again, has never had ever done better in polling than almost anybody else on the Republican side. But that is as it is by now. You know, you can't really change it.
I think I know you've got to go here soon. We'll get into this. the Time magazine coronation of Kamala,
where she didn't even agree to the interview.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty ridiculous. Just a it's what's happening is so obvious, and yet it seems like there's nothing we can do to slow this train down, Quinn.
Well, except there are still 90 days, and a lot can happen in 90 days. And I do remind people that at this time in 1988, George H.W. Bush was 17 points behind Mike Dukakis, and he won in a near landslide.
Wow.
So, I mean, I was there in the convention, in the suite with his campaign manager, Lee Atwater, who was in a foul mood the weekend before the convention. Just, he was really nasty, because they were 17 points down in August, in mid-August of 1988, and yet, again, Bush won by a near landslide. So lots can change. There's lots of time for either side to change things around.
Thanks for your time this morning, Quinn. Appreciate it. And I know you got a meeting to get to, so get on, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Get it.
All right, Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, quinnhillier.com. And coming back, turning up your voice the rest of the hour, 251-343-0106. You can call, you can text. We have some texts, texts angry at our coverage of Tim Walz. So we'll get into some of those when we get back right here on Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, 825. Making all kinds of friends on the text line, 251-343-0106. I'll just say, hey, thank you for listening.
Let's go through the text line, 251-343-0106. Texter here, it is time to quit pussyfooting around and call the Democrat Party what they are communists. Not all of them, some of them. Cindy says, why isn't that illegal what the Democrats have done? Why isn't anyone suing them for the coup of Biden? Would it help if we wrote our congressman? This is another illegal election. Well, that was actually a question posed to Cameron Smith, who was guest hosting for Midday Mobile on Friday. He said, really, legally, there's not much they can do as Biden resigned. He says that some some voices in the room, like Nancy Pelosi, were encouraging him to resign, but he resigned. He didn't. He wasn't pushed out of a window, right?
So what kind of signing bonus he got?
That's a good question. Another texter, don't you think the irrational way Trump is right now that he's losing independence and will therefore lose the election? You know, I really don't think, if you just listen to clips cut out of very long campaign stops or very long interviews, you can cut things out and make him sound a certain way, that's for sure. And he has said some irrational things and continues to, but overall, I don't think he's being that irrational. And I encourage you, even if you hate Trump, which apparently a lot of you do, to just give it a shot. Give yourself an hour or maybe less and listen to his 2-hour talk with Elon Musk last night.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to some of the things that he has to say and tell me that he's a radical, because the things he's saying are pretty common sense. And, you know, whatever you think of Trump, for 2 hours he spoke with one of the smartest men around, Elon Musk, and they were going back and forth about all different kinds of topics. It was all stream of consciousness, kind of off the cuff, back and forth. Very few politicians.
You can't be a dummy. You can't be a dummy and talk with Elon Musk off the cuff without trapping yourself or looking like a dumb.
Now you may listen and still disagree with him politically, but if you listen and say that he's dumb or that his that he's fading mentally, I disagree completely, and I think you're off your rocker if you can listen to that and think that. Gene, my favorite, Gene. Do you take a shower when you leave the show where you sling garbage on Democrats while adoring serial adulterers?
I'm not adoring anybody, and I take a shower after I go on my walk.
That's right. Another texter, if you don't have proof, you shouldn't speak to it. That's how lies get started. He's referencing the Tim Walz in the National Guard discussion. You know, since Walz was named the VP candidate, pretty much everyone, I haven't seen anyone that served with him that said, actually, he's a stand-up guy, blah, blah, blah,
we
blah,
had
blah.
No, and we had no idea we were going to Iraq.
We had no idea the unit was being deployed to Iraq. No, everyone who was either around Walz at that time in 05 or who served above Walz in 05 or the man who replaced Walz in 05, all to a T are saying, no, he was in the meeting.
Yeah.
He was in the meeting when they said your unit will be deployed to Iraq.
It played a role in him in his retirement.
And then he immediately retired to run for Congress, successfully, that is. Let's see. C.B. Carl, I don't think they will let Kamala get in a tank like Dukakis did.
His little head poking out.
Texter, see, there you go, giving them a pass. Wake up and pull your head out of your ass. Well, my head is not in my ass. I'm talking on the microphone right now. It would sound completely different if my head was in my ass.
Who's that? What's that?
Well, about the all Democrats are communists. Yeah, I disagree with that statement.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them are socialists.
They're politicians. They're getting elected.
That's right.
You know, come on.
If Trump cannot stay on message and beat Harris, the MAGA party is dead. Mr. Valentine says, Quinn, a Trump hater, a useless sack, typical old conservative. It might be true, but Quinn didn't really talk about Trump at all in that first 20 minutes. Let's see. Jason, good morning. What exactly is Quinn's role on the show? His opinions are at odds with the majority of your listeners. Come from a defeated viewpoint. Seems he'd rather lose with the Romney types than win with Trump. And we talk with Quinn because he gives a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
He gives the anti-Trump Republican viewpoint, and I think that's good to hear sometimes.
Would you rather have a rhino in or Kamala? If that was your choice.
Let's see. Ben, which city has been under more water restrictions over the past 2 years, Pritchard or Fairhope?
Wow.
Good question. Fairhope back to stage 3 of the water conservation emergency plan.
Which is not good, by the way.
Good morning, 835, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. The segment brought to you by the personal injury law firm that is local, Tobias and Comer Law. They've been doing great work for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street, helping guide folks around here through your injury case from the time you first talk until it's over, and reminding you with school back in session that very important that you follow the rules of the road, especially near school crosswalks and bus stops. And it's you might not think so, but things can turn quickly and turn very poorly for your life and whatever, you know, poor child or parent may be crossing the road or near that bus stop. Remember, just last year there was a nearly tragic incident in Alberta involving a school student who thankfully survived but was hit by someone illegally passing a school bus. And apparently when they did these school bus checks, both Baldwin County and Mobile County, I think one day a year they see how many people illegally passed school buses with the stop sign arm out. And the numbers of people that are illegally passing are just insane. Just to get to work another minute or two earlier, it's not worth it. And you need to pay close attention when you're near these crosswalks. And also, of course, give those crossing guards their due and try to give them as much room as possible. From car to boating accidents, defective products, to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, Tobias and Comer Law has seen it all. Their website's great. It has information like keeping the kids safe as you go back to school, and plenty more at TobiasComerLaw.com. You can also call for a free consultation any time of the day, 251-432-5001. Again, that's TobiasComerLaw.com.
I know we want to get to the text line. We also want to transition to some things more locally here that have got to do with the school year. And I'm looking online at this coverage of Baldwin. The new school in Baldwin County. It's really, the pictures are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I did also want to just mention that this Time Magazine thing, I was referring to it and never really got to it. But if you see Time Magazine, it's a very glorified, beautiful picture of Kamala Harris on the front and a very glowing article in which she is not, again, say, well, is this the interview? No. So you put someone on the cover of your magazine, and you're still not granted an interview. Well, why would you put him on the cover of your magazine if she's not even going to grant you the interview? So anyway, the glowing words, let's see, this was in the story, it quoted a wide array of aides talk about how great she is, including, this was all under wraps. How great she was not mentioned for 3.5 years.
Are these like the same aides that were saying behind closed doors, Biden's doing backflips and Sudoku puzzles and all of the crossword puzzles.
Yep.
He's like, brilliant.
Yep, that's
same aides.
Same people. It was CNN's Bakari Sellers, Pete Buttigieg, people like that. And Atler was the writer of this article, Charlotte Atler, and she says her it's called Her Moment. Inside, after Adler wrote that Harris has pulled off the swiftest vibe shift in modern political history. Yeah, because it's press created, Adler. Quote, even if Washington is taken by surprise, the energetic fighter of the past 2 weeks matches the Harris whom allies say they have known for years. Mm. Like, don't be surprised. This is her. Anyway, they're getting a lot of pushback on this. If you social media and people in the middle and on the right are like thinking, basically, this is pitiful.
Oh, she's such a fighter that many of the people that were hired on to work in her office of vice presidency quit because she was fighting them.
Yeah.
So that's how good couldn't work with her.
Those were the reports that we were hearing early on. Well, most of the time was that she was frustrated. She was frustrated when she was given that border role, which, of course, she ignored or didn't apply herself. I don't know which. And then, of course, intentionally didn't apply herself because the job was not to really close the border.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah. And also, you know, we talked about how Republicans set such a low bar time and time again for Joe Biden. And then it just took very little for him to clear that threshold because the bar had been set so low in the media by Republicans, except for, of course, the debate where the bar was very low, and he ran into it with his forehead. But this is really setting the bar low. Mm-hmm. I mean, just asking her to do an interview. Mm-hmm. So if she does come out and do an interview, and, you know, even if it's pre-staged questions and she knows the answers, I mean, how is that much different than working off a teleprompter?
It's anyway, not. It's
I wonder
not.
If setting the bar too low is maybe a bad idea.
I mean, look, she might be the president in 3 months, the elected president of the United States. I'd like to know a little bit about what she thinks about X, Y, and Z, and we're not getting any of that.
Right. Grant says, I read an article on X this morning. There were 3 officers from Minnesota that testified under oath. The Tim Walz told them to stand down and, quote-unquote, let it go. while Minneapolis burned. Same texter that was upset about the reports on Tim Walz and the National Guard, saying that that's how lies get started, altered his line of attack and took it back to Donald Trump. Come on, man. When a person shows you who they are, believe them, Donald Trump. So there's that. Let's see. Maz, to James' point, isn't Harris an adulterer as well, sleeping with Willie Brown, who was married, to further her career? No, I guess that makes her a prostitute. Jerry from Fort Morgan says, some Democrats are not commies. Some are simply idiots. And Ricky says, left, right is not ever going to work. America has lost its way. And when a country turns from God to serve sin and the printing machine, the love of money is the root of all evil. Signed, Ricky. So a lot of texts, and keep them coming in, 251-343-0106. I wanted to talk about this story that I saw over the weekend regarding, you know, a big part of Trump's conversation last night was with Elon, talking about cutting bureaucratic waste, cutting governmental waste. And this came off of, you know, he was ripping Kamala again for the only policy position she's come out since she's been named the nominee was the no tax on tips, yeah, which was what Trump has been saying all summer.
Yeah.
Of course, Trump hammered her on that. But then the question kind of came up, well, how are we going to, you know, pay, right, if you're taking taxes away from everyone? And one of the big things he said was cutting governmental waste. And I think Elon Musk even said, hey, I'll happily serve on some committee if you'd like, because Elon, you know, every company he takes over, cutting is what he does. He moved out a lot of the people that worked in the Twitter office as soon as he took over, saying that they weren't, you know, there wasn't good value. They weren't assets. They were more liabilities.
Yeah.
And they weren't getting it done.
They were waste.
Right.
They were a waste. And just imagine how much government waste is out there.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And they even referenced the Department of Education and getting rid of the National Department of Education and returning it back to the states, which is not just a Republican idea. There are Democrats out there who want the same thing, you know? And again, that conversation with Elon last night, a lot of the things that Trump has said before, but 1.3 million were tuned in when it finally began. I guess there was a DDoS attack on the Twitter servers that kept people, delayed it by about 30, 40, 45 minutes, which when do you remember the Ron DeSantis presidential campaign rollout? He tried to make that announcement on Twitter as well, and that was a complete failure, and they completely folded it up and didn't do it once that failed on Twitter. They probably should have waited then to see if they could get it in. Anyway, that's what they did last night. 1.3 million were tuned in live to that specific feed when it began, and we're on for a good hour, 1.3 million people. Then it kind of, after an hour, went back to 1.2 million, but by the end of the nearly two-hour-long conversation, still over a million people tuned in. And a lot more have listened to it since. I think it's worth listening to, especially if you think that Trump has completely gone crazy, or that getting shot in the ear has made him more of a wild man or something.
Or you think he's not that bright.
Or you think he's not that bright. Just listen to it. And there was kind of a Lou Holtz kind of lisp going on from him.
That had to be equipment. I don't know.
I think he does have a little lisp. But I think the speaker also was kind of amplifying that,
yeah.
But it was hard for me to get around that yesterday. Anyway, my point about the governmental waste and spending money on things that don't need to be spent, we've seen colleges across the country expand and expand and expand, and we all, you know, joke about these degrees that in many cases, all it does is put you in massive student loan debt. There's degrees that you can't really work with in the real world once you get out, and a lot of that is because of, you know, federal loans and just money pouring into colleges, taxpayer money in many cases. I think colleges, according to this story from the Associated Press, are finally starting to make some big cuts. There's a wave of program cuts in recent months as U.S. colleges, both large and small, try to make ends meet. They reference this one woman, Christina Westman, who was studying at St. Cloud State University, and they announced a plan, let's see, in May to eliminate its music department, but they also slashed 42 degree programs and 50 minor degree programs. And among the budget challenges for all these colleges, again, according to the Associated Press, federal COVID relief money is now gone. So they were expanding, I believe, even during COVID, as, you know, once the students came back to school, even more federal money began pouring into these colleges. So a lot of these degrees that really aren't worth a damn and programs that aren't worth a damn or that can be done better by another college are starting to go away. They said operational costs are rising and fewer high school graduates are going straight to college. That's something we discussed as we guest hosted for Sean on Midday Mobile last week, that there's a growing number of people who are either going into apprenticeships, joining the military as they've seen their numbers drop for enlistments, but maybe taking a year off in between school and deciding what they do with the rest of their life. The point is, not as many people are going straight into four-year colleges from high school as they had been. The story continues, the cuts mean more than just savings or even job losses. Often they create turmoil for students who chose a campus because of certain degree programs and then wrote checks or signed up for student loans. At St. Cloud State, and I imagine a lot of these colleges who are starting to cut some of these programs, most students will be able to finish their degrees before cuts kick in. That female I referenced, Westman, she was a music therapy major. So I'm not exactly sure, you know, what do you do with that degree? Music therapy degree. I'm sure there's something.
You have Stevie Wonder lay on a couch and talk about his life.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but that's like one of the degrees or college programs that's kind of gone away. For years, many colleges have held off making cuts. And I don't know how much is Birmingham Southern kind of tie into this kind of story. College enrollment declined during the pandemic, but officials hoped the figures would recover to pre-COVID levels, and they've used federal relief money to prop up their budgets in the meantime. But
I don't know if Birmingham Southern falls to that, or if there were just poor decisions made along the way, financial decisions that were made along the way. It's a small school, and it's been around for goodness, the 1800s. And it just kind of failed on itself.
And I don't know that, you know, if you want to be a music therapy major or some of these others, I don't know that it means you can't be, right? It just means that there won't be dozens of colleges offering that one program. There may be one or two colleges where you can go to and get that degree. And, you know, as we've seen all these colleges compete year after year after year, and they all end up with the same programs, and the budget keeps growing and growing and growing. More students with big federal student loans come in, and they charge $800-$900 for your books for the semester, and it's out of hand. And everyone knows that the spending for college is out of hand and not in line with the earnings.
Yeah, the earnings on the way out.
On the way out.
And so now you've got the school in Loxley, Baldwin County Prep. Mm-hmm. It seemed to be off to a very exciting start. So Eric Mackey is the superintendent of the state of Alabama, and he says this school is the story right now. He was knocked out by it visiting it yesterday. Now, that doesn't mean everything, but like we were talking about earlier, it looks, and I guess brand new things always look shiny and wonderful. This looks really amazing. Also, you're going to have, there's 800 students enrolled there, Dalton. They're there for the same reason. They're not in a classroom setting and one gives a darn and the other is looking out the window. They're there because they all want to be there. Mm-hmm. I think that creates a very great atmosphere to learn. And then you've got, it's academic and vocational. So like we were talking about this earlier, when we start to see these I think it's three grades, is it to
10, 11, 12. 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 10th grade, 11th grade, yeah, and 12th grade.
Sophomore year through. And so I think once we see the correlation between the studies and industries in Mobile and Baldwin County, and you start to see these graduates immediately, I would hope, find employment because they're much more ready to go than other students, I think it's going to be a very interesting. There's going to be some interesting findings out of this if things work as planned. And these kids get the toughest time in your life, to me, is when you just don't know. You're young and you don't know. Maybe you're at Troy like you did, but you still don't know. You don't know what you're going to do. How about if these young people start to work a little bit, ahead of time at what they want to do for a living? They're interning there. They're learning as they go through school. They're getting academic education. Plus, they're getting real skills. And suddenly, they're in the workforce making good money at the age of 19.
And that's in line with school choice as well, right? And the options that middle schoolers and high schoolers have as they grow. And I've long lamented that schools have gotten away, and maybe, I think at one point they were there, but not while I was in school, just teaching basic real-world stuff, mm-hmm. not stuff that geniuses have to do, but things like balancing your budget or saving money.
We do that with the things that we teach junior achievement. I'm on that board here. It does a great job of going into schools and doing things just like that.
But when you talk about people who can go on and do great things, world-changing things, like, you know, Elon Musk or Tim Cook or Lonnie Johnson, who from here invented the Super Soaker yeah. and a million other things. If you have a 10th grader who is capable of that kind of thing and interested in something like that and learning above and beyond what someone that age would normally do, a wunderkind, as yeah. they would call it, a wunderkind, yeah. Then something like the Baldwin Prep School, where they can start getting, you know, almost on the job knowledge of how to do certain things and how to work with machinery, that's a good thing for America. That's not just a good thing locally. That's a good thing for the future of the country and the world, having more people at younger ages focusing on things that are not your typical, you know, high school education. And so I think that's great. And like we said earlier, I can't wait to see how the Baldwin Prep School grows and how the students that go there, what their careers are like after high school.
I'm excited for it. And I, like I say, I just think it's a really good thing that you have all these students. Unlike most schools, they're like-minded. They're there for a reason. And if a clown next to them is disrupting class, they'll pick up a plumber's tool and hit him in the head. That's what I think is going to happen.
Plenty of those around, I'm sure.
I'm in for it, man. I'm down with that. Congratulations to Baldwin Prep. That's pretty cool.
8:52, coming back. We have a few more texts to get to. 251-343-0106. And also, a polar bear attack
yeah.
in the Arctic. These are rare. I'll tell you how rare, coming back on Mobile Mornings.
He will. I guess I'm Beavis, because according to the one texter, you're Butthead. it's 8:56 with Dan and Dalton.
Texter here, Tim Waltz, would not have made it in my outfit. He wouldn't have made it to retirement. Jason, referencing the tragedy in Pritchard Sunday night with the 12-year-old who ended up dead after suffering a gunshot wound. After the press conference yesterday, still don't know a whole lot about how that happened. No. We just know that the victim's 16-year-old brother is, police are looking for them. Jason says, Jimmy Gardner immediately going anti-gun in the press conference about the death of the 12-year-old is further confirmation of what a failure he is as a mayor. Texter here, Angry Patriot, I've decided to paint my house with a Q-tip versus watch any more of our current administration. And finally here, Texter says, schools like Alabama and Auburn are killing their students financially, but nobody ever attacks the colleges for doing this. You know, it's been intermittent, but we've gone after these high prices for colleges quite a bit over the years. The polar bear attack. So last week, two polar bears in tandem killed a worker at a remote radar site in the Canadian Arctic. And these are rare polar bear attacks on humans. They say the incident occurred at a workstation on Brevoort Island in Nunavut, which is part of the North Warning System, designed to protect North American airspace by detecting missiles and aircraft. The company managing the facility, Nassetuck Corporation, confirmed the attack. They said one of the bears was euthanized, a.k.a. shot, I imagine, while an investigation's ongoing. Although polar bear attacks on humans are uncommon, this is the second death via polar bear since 2023. Somebody did a study from 1870 to 2014. There were 73 confirmed polar bear attacks, resulting in 20 deaths. So that's how rare they are. For almost 100 years, or over 100 years, only 70 attacks and 20 deaths. Although I do guess there's probably a lot of unreported polar bear attacks over the years.
In remote areas.
In remote areas.
Honey, it happened again.
Yeah.
A guy said over dinner. 8:59.